you'd open your Bibles, please, to Luke, the 7th chapter. We're going to get right into our lesson this morning, Luke, the 7th chapter. And we'll begin about verse 11, but I encourage you, we studied last week in Luke 5, I'd encourage you to go back and read Luke 6 and all of Luke 7. We'll begin in verse 11 reading. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. And now when he came nigh unto the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the brier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came great fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God has visited his people. Remember several weeks ago when we studied about bishops? That God bishoped his people is what that means here. That's what bishops are supposed to do, visit people. God has visited his people. And the rumor of him went forth throughout all of Judea and throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him all these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And then a couple of weeks ago, we studied about John the Baptist, and we covered this, but we're going to go on and read it here. And where the men were coming to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in the same hour he cured many of their infirmities and their plagues and of evil spirits, and to many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answered and said unto them, Go your way and tell John what things that you have seen and heard, how the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the poor, and to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out to the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken of the wind? And what went you out to see? A man clothed in fine, soft raiment? Behold, they that are gloriously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it was written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face. This is right from Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. We studied now in that John lesson. Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And so we understand the kingdom of God to be the church, the body of Christ. And so the Bible is teaching us that the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. That's a wonderful thing. We need to think about that as we dwell upon all our troubles. I want to report to you that we have some bad problems. We have lost about $2,000 a month in income. And that is a tremendous amount of income to this little church. Our contribution is about $1,250, $1,300 a week. And to that, we added this other $2,000 a month in income, $500 a week. So that gave us almost $2,000 a week to operate on. And now we're not going to have that. We're going to be back to where we were. We're back to just operating on our contribution. And so it's going to be a real, we're going to have to tighten up our budget. Y'all do that at home, don't you? Well, if you don't have enough money, you tighten up your budget. So what we have to do is more with less. We've got to do more with less. Everybody's got to do more with less. And we've got to make these five loaves and three little fishes. We've got to feed a lot of people with it. And so we're not going to stop what we're doing. And we're still going to have good meals for you. It's just not going to be as fancy, and everything's not going to be as fancy as it was. More bad news is the thieves got in our air conditioners over here this past week and stole the copper off our air conditioners. They cost us about $2,500. It's cost us $1,400 so that you'll be cool this morning. And it's going to cost us another $500 to get a security gate on that. And I want to thank Larry McClendon. He has sit up here the last two nights guarding your air conditioners. And he's going to sit up here tonight guarding your air conditioners until we can get a metal gate on this cage and get it closed up. And so we have bad news. But the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. So there's a whole bunch of people here greater than John the Baptist. And as I told you last week, you've done so much with so little for so long. You're now fully qualified to do anything with nothing. And so that's good news. It's really good news. We're going to be able to do this, and I want to encourage you. And so now we'll get on with our lesson, verse 29. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves being not baptized of him. Now these two verses, verse 29 and 30 of Luke chapter 7, are the keys to the parable below. Now let's try to understand these things. The publicans and sinners justified God. And the word justify means counted as. Generally used in a sentence as counted as righteous, as an example. So the publicans and sinners counted God as righteous being baptized with the baptism of John. So the publicans and sinners said God was right in sending John to baptize people. But the Pharisees and lawyers and doctors of the law, they rejected the counsel of God, and notice that clause, what did they reject it? Against themselves, they rejected the counsel of God against themselves, not being baptized by the baptism of John. So now this is the key to all of the parable that follows below. And the Lord said, whereunto shall I liken the men of this generation, and what are they like? Well, they're like spoiled, rotten, rebellious children. Have you ever seen that kind of children? That's exactly what they're like. They're like spoiled, rotten, rebellious children. What are the Pharisees and the doctors of the law like? They're like spoiled, rotten, rebellious children. And the Lord said, whereunto shall I liken the men of this generation? To what are they like? They're likened to children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, we have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned to you, and you have not wept. Who's the we? Well, Jesus and John the Baptist. That's who the we is. We piped unto you. We've played you a merry melody, and you haven't danced. You haven't been happy. We've played you a funeral dirge, and you haven't wept. What do you want? Well, that's the point. They don't know what they want, but they sure don't want him. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread and drinking wine, and you say he hath a devil. Now John was clothed in camel hair, and with a girdle of skin he did eat locusts and wild honey. They said he's a wild man. This guy's a wild man. Who's John the Baptist is? John the Baptist is too serious. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say he has a devil. He's too serious. John the Baptist is too serious. And the Son of Man has come eating and drinking. You say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Jesus isn't serious enough. John the Baptist is too serious. Jesus isn't serious enough. So they don't know what they want. That's the point of all this. But wisdom is justified of all her children. Now this is the point of the parable. What does that mean? Wisdom is justified of all her children. Who became the children of God? The publicans and sinners that justified God being baptized by the baptism of John became the children, and they showed with their wisdom how they were justified. These are easy things to understand. We'd like to encourage our radio audience. Why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home? or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free tape. But wisdom is justified of all her children. And so all of God's children from that generation became those publicans and sinners who justified God being baptized by the baptism of John. Now let's go down to verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. Now this isn't just a meal. It was because Jesus is being proclaimed to be the Messiah. And all of the works and the mighty works and the deeds that he's doing, has the word of him has traveled everywhere. And Jesus is being proclaimed to be the Messiah, to be the Christ. And so now they're having this dinner to investigate him. They're going to investigate this rabbi from Nazareth. They're going to see all about him. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Now, when you invited someone to your home in those days, you would leave the doors open. It was a common thing to leave the doors open where uninvited guests could come in. And there would be pillows along the wall or along the outer wall where they could come in and sit down. And then you had a head table where everybody sat. And so the host of a party would greet the person that's coming, his guest, at the door, and would greet him with a familiar kiss. They kissed each other on the cheek and would greet him with a kiss. And with servants, he'd seat him, and servants would quickly wash his feet and anoint him with oil. And so Simon is having a dinner to investigate this Christ, this Messiah who's come from Nazareth. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Only a sinner needs a Savior. Have you examined yourself lately? You know, that's what God would have us do. Instead of me examining you and your sins, he would have us all look in the mirror and examine ourselves. Turn with me to Psalms. Psalms 38. David has committed a terrible sin. David was God's man, and he fell away. He committed a terrible sin. And he came to himself when Nathan the prophet came and jerked him up and told him about it. He repented of his sin. And so he wrote this psalm, this and the 51st psalm and several others, to let us know what it's like when you sin. I lost my faith one time. I've come close to losing it many times, but I lost my faith one time. And I sinned. And I did the dirty deed. And I want to tell you now that it feels just exactly like this. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For some reason I had not been able to put it together that God is a disciplinarian. He's a father. And every child that he receives, he beats, he scourges. Every son that he receives, he disciplines every son that he receives. And I really thought I could get away with it. Like we all think that, man, I'm slick. I can do this and get away with it. And you can't get away with it with God. Nothing is hidden from the eyes of him to whom we have to do. And I'm telling you now that when you're a Christian and you sin, all your joy is gone. All of the laughter in your life is gone. Nothing is right until you get this right. For thy arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presses me sore. It's just like having a back full of arrows, like the engines that shot you up with a bunch of arrows. You look like a porcupine. That's the way you feel. And it feels like somebody's pushing your head down in the mud all the time. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thy anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. My own sin has done this to me. For my iniquities have gone over my head as a heavy burden. They're too heavy for me. Bowed down with the guilt of his own sin. My wounds stink like this soul sickness probably, but my wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. It's like a man that's got terminal syphilis, sores all over his body. I've dealt with many people who are dying with full-blown AIDS, and they get sores all over them, and they hate and detest themselves. Sin does that to you, just like it does it to you physically, it'll do it to you spiritually too. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. It's like wounds all over your body full of pus. I am troubled. I bow down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. There's no laughter and no joy in it anymore. The very nature of sin, this causes us to really despise our own selves. To hate our own selves. I've hated my own self for my sin. For my loins are filled with loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I'm feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. You know what really gave me hope again as I was reading in 1 John, and it says, if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. And that's really true. So if you've got yourself in a mess, God's greater than your heart condemning you, and he knows all things. Jesus is a sinner's friend. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me, for out of the light of my eyes it also is gone from me. My lover and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand far off. Just be a criminal and everybody will love you until you, as long as you're getting away with it. But wait till you get caught. Then all them people that loved you before, they don't love you no more. They don't love you no more. All your lovers and all your friends and all your buddies, they don't care nothing about you anymore. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me. And they that seek my hurt speak mischief things and imagine deceits all day long. When you sin like this, when you're a Christian and you become a sinner, you open yourself up to the devil and all of the minions of hell has a shot at you. They've got an open shot at you. You just can't live with sin in your life if you're a Christian. But I as a deaf man heard not. I was as a dumb man and I opened not my mouth. And I took that same approach. I've not tried to justify myself and make excuses for myself. People can say whatever they want about me. I can't do anything about it. And so I'm not going to defend myself at all, just like David says. Thus I was as a man that heareth not, in whose mouth are no reproofs. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord, my God. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. There are a lot of people in the church that will do that to you. You might think that you have friends, but when you sin openly, everybody is on you then. Everybody's on you, and everybody's talking about you, and you become the talk of the town. For I'm ready to halt. Hey, there it is. For I'm ready to halt. David says, I'm ready to stop this foolishness. David said, I'm ready to halt. I'm ready to stop. I'm ready to halt right here. For I'm ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me, and godly sorrow worketh repentance. For I will declare my iniquity. I'll confess my sins to God. That's what I'll do. I'll declare my iniquity. I'll be sorry for my sins. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. But my enemies are lively. They are strong, and they hate me. Wrongly or multiply, and they also that render evil for good are my adversaries. Because I follow the things that is good, Forsake me not, O Lord. O God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord of my salvation. You know, today, as much as said about in psychology and so forth, about the mind of man, and that guilt is mostly the big problem. Well, if that's so, you know, David shouldn't have felt so bad because he was king after all, and every king had a right to do anything that he wanted to do. Kings throughout the world did anything. What was different in David is that David had sense enough to repent, to realize that there's a higher judge than me. There's a higher judge than David. We'd like to encourage our radio audience. Why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home? They'll receive you as an honored guest. Or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free tag. Isaiah the prophet says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." God wants to reason with you. God wants to reason with all people. He wants to reason with you and have you come to your senses. David also, in writing in Psalms 51, which is a great psalm, and I will encourage you to go read this whole thing. This psalm deals with the same thing when David sinned. And look down to verse 17. "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." So what's God interested in? He's interested in a contrite heart. He's interested in a broken and contrite spirit.
KKGM, Fort Worth, Dallas, a Mortenson Broadcasting Station.
Look at Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57, beginning in verse 45. "Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite heart and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite ones." Contrite, daka, in the Hebrew, it means to break, to bruise, to crush, to crouch. Do you feel broken about your sins? Are you sorry about your sins? Do you feel bruised about your sins? Do you feel beat down about your sins? Are you willing to crouch at God's feet? I'm telling you, I felt so low over my sin, I know I could have crawled under a newspaper. I know I could have. I felt that low. And I hope that you've examined your own self and it felt that same way, your own self, because there's hope for you if you have. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2. "For all those things has my hands made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and that trembles at my word." So if you'll get your heart contrite, God will be able to do something with you. Now let's turn back to Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 37. "Behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began washing his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with oil." Now when the Pharisee which has been in him saw it, he spake within himself. He said this to himself. He thought it within his own mind. And Jesus read his mind. He spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for he is a sinner." You know, you hear people say all the time today, "I'm not going to church, it's full of hypocrites." Y'all hear that? I hear it all the time. Church full of hypocrites. You know why people say that? Because the church is full of hypocrites. That's why. That's why people say that, because the church is full of hypocrites. They're right. They're exactly right. And this is an example of a hypocrite. This is an example of a hypocrite right here. How could Simon, a doctor of the law, ignore these things. Simon just really, you know, when you think about old Simon, he went and did all the sacrifices in the temple that the Jews are required to do. He offered a lamb, and he offered a pigeon, and a turtle dove, and a meat offering, and a meal offering, and all its different offerings. But he just couldn't link two and two together that those sacrifices were for him. And it has to do with your thinking about God and about righteousness, which we're talking about here, this justify word. And so, if it's like a thermometer, if righteousness is like a thermometer down here, and so you ask people, if up here is God and absolute righteousness, and you ask them, well, where do you think that you are on this scale? Most people who are hypocrites will put themselves right here, oh, I'm 90% righteous, I'm just 10% a sinner, that's all. And God doesn't give us that kind of picture. Turn with me, please, to Psalms 14. Psalms 14. Now, a doctor of the law is supposed to know all about Psalms 14. He's a PhD in the law. He's supposed to know all about it. And he judges this woman. The fool has saith in his heart that there is no God. Now, see, you can do that by your actions. It's not an atheist. How do you say that there's no God? Well, if I went drinking and running around with wild women and doping this afternoon, running around on my wife, I'd be saying in my heart that there's no God. See, a fool can say in his heart there's no God many different ways. It's not just by being an atheist. That's some kind of fool over there. We're talking about the kind of fools in the church house. The fool saith in his heart that there's no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. What does God say? There's nobody does good. None doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. God says everybody's gone aside. Everybody has become filthy. The fall of man was absolutely complete. The fall of man puts man way down here at the bottom. Way down here at the bottom. And the woman's way down here at the bottom. And you know where Simon was? He's just a little bit above that woman there. That's where Simon was. And there's a great big gulf between God and Simon, and there's not much of a gulf between Simon and the woman. That's what I want to get across to you today. There's not a lot of difference between me and the worst sinner on earth. There's a great deal of difference between me and God. God is altogether righteousness. God is total righteousness and absolute righteousness. And what I'm trying to tell you, and I know I busted some of you bubbles this morning, and I know that I'm going to send some of you to your books, and I hope that you'll go to your books and then go back and read this and compare it to Romans chapter 3 that Paul uses this psalm, and he equates it to right now, the Christian age, and he says people are still like that. He quotes this psalm right here. They're all gone aside. They have all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? There are those in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. We have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice when the Christ comes. There's going to be a different deal here. And Israel shall be glad. Simon just had no personal experience that all those sacrifices he made in the temple had anything to do with him. He thought he was making them for somebody else, I guess. But you know, Simon should have read his own Bible, shouldn't he? Because God fully warned him ahead of time. So I want you to remember this. The fall of man is complete. We'd encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home. They'll receive you as an honored guest or call us at 214-821-2123. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 26, verse 18. What's Simon like? Well, he's like a hypocrite. What's a hypocrite like? As a madman that casteth firebrands and arrows and death, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and say, am I not in Spore? Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. And where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. So we need to always be aware of that. There not be any talebearers around here. We don't need any talebearers. I don't encourage snitching around here. As coals are burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man that kindles strife. The words of a talebearer are wounds, and they go down even to the innermost parts of the belly. People that tell tales on you, it hurts, doesn't it? It wounds you in your heart, and it goes down to the innermost parts of your belly. And people are so rotten, they want to believe everything they hear. Everything they hear, they want to believe it, and they want more. Just embellish the story. They'll listen twice as hard if you just embellish the story. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips. People that hate in their heart, never been converted, they hate in their heart, they dissimulate with their lips, they slander other people with their lips, and lay up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not. You've seen two-faced people? This is what they're like. For there are even seven abominations in his heart, when hatred is covered by deceit. Now notice how evil people cover hatred. They lie about it. They tell you, I don't hate you. I don't hate you. And there's all the time twisting that knife that they already got in your back. Already twisting it. All the time telling you, I don't hate you at all. And they're just twisting that knife that they've stuck in your back. Whoso hateth is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be shown before the whole congregation. You talking about having the sheets jerked off of you. On the judgment day, the whole church will see it. Everybody will see it. Your family will see it. Everybody will see you for what you are on someday, the judgment day. They will be a judgment day. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein. And he that rolleth a stone, it'll return upon him. A lying tongue hateth, and those that are afflicted by it, a flatter mouth worketh ruin. So I'd encourage you not to wind up like old hypocritical Simon here. Now back to Luke chapter 7. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself. He said it in his own mind. He said it within his own mind, not out loud, saying, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, he answered his thought. Simon should have known from that, hey, this guy can read minds. Who can read minds but God? He should have picked up from that, shouldn't he? And Jesus answered and said unto him, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. And there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? Gratitude is the true motivation of love. Simon had offered all the sacrifices. He just couldn't figure it out that they were for him. He had no personal experience. Simon was a hypocrite. He could not admit that he had not always been true. Simon had to maintain an image. He had to keep an image out there. Verse 43, Simon answered and said, I suppose that he whom he forgave the most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. That's right, the one he forgave the most. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, and this woman since the time that I came has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou did not anoint, but this woman is anointed in my feet with ointment. How could Simon justify the common lack of courtesy? Verse 47, Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loveth much, but unto him whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. In order to love, we have to let God forgive us, or we can't love right. We won't be worth anything to anybody if we don't let God forgive us. We've got to let God forgive us. God wants to forgive us. He wants to forgive the woman, and he wants to forgive Simon. He wants to forgive the sinners, and he wants to forgive hypocrites. But they need to listen. They need to pay attention. And he said to her, Thy sins are forgiven. And you see that R, you can circle that in your Bible. It's really a past tense verb in the Greek. It would best be translated, Thy sins have been forgiven. It's already taken place. Jesus had just forgiven them. Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? Well, he's the Son of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John 1:1-14. The same power that said, Let there be light in this universe, said, Let Mary be pregnant with the power of the spoken Word of God. That's who Jesus was. And who is this that forgives sin also? Well, he's God. That's who he is. And he said unto the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Shalom. Jesus said shalom only to the woman. He wants to say shalom to you right now this morning. Jesus wants to say peace to you right now this morning. But you need to get right with God. You need to do what the woman has done, what King David did in examining himself. Examine yourself. Look in the mirror. Look at the standard. Don't compare yourself to Kelly. Compare yourself to Jesus. Then that'll shut every mouth. Every mouth needs to be stopped. Not just some. Every mouth needs to be stopped. And all the world needs to become guilty before God and say, God, have mercy upon me, the sinner. Then God can work with you. Then God can work with you. And he's saying peace to you when he died on that cross for you. That death on that cross you can appropriate for your own self. It can be just like your death. Instead of you dying, Jesus has tasted death for everyone, every Christian. I don't think death hurts a Christian. It might hurt to get up to death, but it doesn't hurt to die because Jesus has tasted death for all of us. Doesn't hurt to die for a Christian. You might suffer a long time to get up to there, but it don't hurt to die. Jesus has tasted death for you. His sacrifice is for you if you'll have it. The Bible teaches the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the way of salvation. Paul says, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 15:1, down to verse 4, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe. Everybody that believes, it's God's power to save you. Now, if you believe, you need to add to that belief faith, for without faith it's impossible to please him. Romans 5:1 says, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Shalom. God's wanting to say shalom to you again. Just like Jesus said to the woman, God's wanting to say shalom to you. But you need to believe the gospel and have faith in Christ. You need to be willing to confess Christ as Lord. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father in heaven in Matthew 10. You need to be willing to repent of your sins, for the times of ignorance God has winked at, and now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And the Bible talks about us being baptized into Christ. Know ye not, so many of us are baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death. Therefore, being buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. So God wants you to become a Christian, to believe, to have faith, to confess him before men, to repent of your sins, to be buried in a watery grave of baptism, to rise from that grave to walk a brand new life. If you're ready to become a Christian or you have sin in your life, you want this opportunity, now's going to be your opportunity to come and make confession of those things. We'd encourage our radio audience to flee the Church of Christ nearest your home and ask, what must I do to be saved, before it's everlasting too late. Won't you come now while we stand and sing?